buddy? How you doing? That's how Josh. That's not. Oh, I'm sorry. That's how Aaron begins the hosting.
But in my style.
Mm-hmm. I got to come up with a new way to host. Okay. All right. Doppler effect. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Rushmore. I'm your host, Brandon.
All right.
I'm playing Daytona.
Daytona.
For the Sega CD. You ever play that? I bought a Sega CD once for my friend. I threw in that Daytona USA. It was good.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Enjoyed it. How you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Good.
How are your thumbs?
Thumbs are all right. Didn't play much.
Mine's a little sore.
Yeah. Ooh. I was playing an NES game and it was hard.
There you go. Hard controller. Mm-hmm. Hard as in texture or hard as in challenge?
Challenge.
Oh. Okay. So around this square table of gentlemen are the other co-hosts.
Okay.
We have Michael.
That's me.
We have Josh.
Uh-huh.
And we have Aaron.
Hello.
The usual gaggle of
geese.
So far you've stolen from both Aaron and Mike now.
I know.
Okay.
Because I'm a chameleon. I'm Kid Chameleon.
Like Karma Chameleon?
No. Like Kid Chameleon. You ever play that?
Yeah, I love
Kid Chameleon. Yeah, he loves that game.
It's my favorite Sega game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Describe to me what the game is about.
The game is about you're a kid who got stuck in a virtual reality world, and you wear hats to gain different powers by becoming different people. Mm-hmm. Like the knight, the rhino, there's a little tank guy, there's the samurai guy.
There's a mm-hmm. Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
And it's the only game I play. Like, if that's not true. I also play, like, Shining Force and stuff. But
as part of, like, Sega collections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a Sega, the game I want to play is Kid Chameleon.
Yeah. We're not going to see a sequel to that anytime soon, are we?
No, I think it's a little late. No, I think we've run past that time.
It does seem like one of those quintessential Sega Genesis games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how have you been digging your Retron 5?
I've been digging it a lot. I've been playing a lot more of my old school games just because I can just plug it straight into my TV I normally use instead of like getting out the old CRT and hooking something up to that.
The boob tube.
Yep. But I've been playing G.I. Joe for the NES on there.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat it today over here.
Very nice. Him.
Never played it.
It's a cool game, but it's really hard.
Yeah, G.I. Joe's like one of the games I always remember playing as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Snake Eyes. I don't know.
Snake Eyes is cool.
Let's face it. I was a kid.
He's always cool.
Yeah, I've never played it. Go ahead.
Which G.I. Joe game is better? The arcade game or the Nintendo?
The Nintendo G.I. Joe game.
The Nintendo G.I. Joe game is really cool. The problem with the arcade game is that you can just kind of sleep through it.
Which I literally did one time. At your house.
Yeah, when we got like ROMs emulated.
Yep.
Say, oh, remember this game? Let's play it.
And I fell asleep in it.
All you do is just pump money into it and then just keep going.
Yep.
That's the problem with a lot of arcade games.
Yeah.
They're really fun when you play them in the arcade, and then when you have unlimited credits at home, you're like, this game's
really built around that.
Yeah, it's not really that replayable.
Mm-hmm. Not in the case with all of them, though. There's some notable exceptions.
Turtles, still fun.
Metal Slug.
Metal Slug's really cool. Still fun.
Yeah.
Choplifter.
That's hard.
Oh, that's a hard
game. Another.
Yeah.
I hate how it's the time. It's just unnecessary. It's hard without the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's throw in time and gas.
Yeah, gas.
Yeah, the gas is what gets me.
But, yeah. NES, G.I. Joe, solid platforming.
I remember always seeing that in Nintendo Power and being like, that looks really good. Mm-hmm. Never got to play it.
And then I popped in the sequel, the Atlantis Factor,
mm-hmm.
as soon as I finished it. And that's even harder. And you don't even get to choose from all the different G.I. Joes at the beginning. You have to find them throughout the game.
What? Mm. Yeah. Who do you start as?
You start as General Hawk.
General Hawk.
I'm okay with that.
And in the first game, General Hawk could fly. In this game, he's just walking around.
Yeah, at the very end, you get General Hawk for the final mission. And General Hawk could fly.
He has a jetpack.
He has a jetpack. And it's like, oh, this is amazing. And then
was that a thing he had in the show?
I don't know.
I don't know. I never really watched the G.I. Joe show.
I'm not into the G.I. Joe lore.
I remember two Snake Eyes episodes and the G.I. Joe Nintendo game. That's it.
I know a bunch of references where I think it's Shipwreck gets sent to like this alternate reality.
Well, he's like, yeah, they're like Cobra's trying to brainwash him.
Yeah.
And so they like send him to this alternate base or something.
Where it's like a peaceful town or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he starts getting out of it or something, coming.
Well, so all the people there are made of clay.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then at some point they just start melting.
Yes. There's an image that is still burned into my mind to this day where Shipwreck is... He sees Roadblock, and Roadblock is in this truck. And Roadblock turns around, and he's like, hey, what's up? And then his face just melts in front of Shipwreck. And, like, his eye, like, comes out of his socket, and everything is just like, wah. And he turns into a blob of clay. And I just, to this day, I still remember just, like, what the heck is this?
It's quality children's entertainment is what it is.
I heard.
80s was into scaring kids.
You know what was depressing? I heard that Saturday is the last day there was going to be broadcast Saturday morning cartoons.
I thought that ended years ago.
I think it depends on like the part of the country or whatever.
Yeah, the state.
But over the air, broadcast television was the last Saturday morning cartoon.
What are they going to air instead?
Paid programming.
Program killed the cartoon.
What did kill the cartoon? Was it the educational movement?
We still have cartoons.
There's cartoons.
They're on Netflix now.
Cartoon Network and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the traditional Saturday morning cartoon.
What killed it is a lack of children buying toys.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm just going to make up things. These are facts now.
I don't remotely true.
You know, I remember G.I. Joe watching that. It had the coolest ending segment, educational, where, you know, the G.I. Joe would teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
And he would end it with, knowing is...
You're like a teacher right now.
Half the battle.
Knowing is anybody?
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 It's like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Knowing is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
G.I. Joe. You know, we had played a great game last week, and we stayed up extremely late.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron, what game was that?
It was called Fibbage.
Can you describe to us what this game is?
Yeah, it was on PS4, downloadable. It's like only $7. And so you launch Fibbage, and then it'll give you a code. You go into Fibbage.com, enter the code, and up to 8 people can use their phones or tablets or laptops or whatever to go onto that website, enter the code, and join the game. And then you'll see all the different players listed on the screen. Once you're ready to go, you can play this game where you are given a sentence with a blank or a factoid, and you have to fill in the blank and say, like, you know, Donald Duck's middle name. And everyone comes up with their lies.
Yeah.
And then once everyone enters their lies, then the screen displays everyone's answers plus the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the players have to pick which one they think is the real answer.
Yes. And you get points for people picking your lie, and you get points for picking the truth.
Right.
And it was a blast. We could not stop playing this game. It was fun. I was playing it on my Kindle. Like
2 hours.
Played it more than that.
No, I think it was exactly 2 hours.
Oh, really?
And yeah, just game after game.
It was like eating Pringles, man. You can't eat just one.
Once you
suddenly
pop.
Eat the entire can. That's how I felt.
I do think there might be trouble if you run into any like repeating questions if you play like you know.
Yeah.
If I'm assuming it keeps track of. Locally, what you've played so far.
You know, and you came back and played it the next day, just immediately after I came home, you guys were playing it. And somebody who had not played it chose a topic that we had already chosen, but it still gave you a different question for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what if there's like three or four questions for each topic, and then
yeah,
I mean that's a lot of questions as it stands, and they could just add more because it's mostly online, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
or at least updatable.
Definitely updatable. So I'm hoping they do stuff like that because I can imagine going to someone else's PS4,
yeah,
and then getting, oh wait, I know the answer to all of these, all of these.
Yeah. Well, have you been playing anything?
Other than your Retron 5? G.I. Joe, Destiny still. Level 22.
We finished it.
What's the max level?
30 is the highest someone has gotten to.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much farther it goes beyond that. It takes a lot of effort to get to 30.
Yeah. The leveling up system changes when you hit 20. You stop earning XP, and instead you get equipment that gives you light. And that light is what contributes to your next level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually gear levels you up as opposed to XP. Oh.
Sounds crappy.
You're crappy.
He's anti-game.
I'm anti...
Why do you have to put down everything we do?
One, I don't. Two, it sucks. That's why.
Can we mute him?
Nope, because I'm in control of all.
He
of
doesn't
them.
Like point-and-click games. He doesn't like shooters.
Well, I don't like grinding like that. I mean, the fact that people had to resort to a loot cave. So there was a cave where enemies infinitely spawned out of it, and if you stood so far away, you could just keep shooting into this cave, and piles of loot would just pile up there. And then you would take a break, you would run in, and you grab everything, and then you step back and you do it again. And people would do this for hours. Like the person who's level 30, probably heavily utilized.
Well, that's
the
no
loot
fun.
Game.
Yeah, it's not fun.
That's
so
your
I didn't
own
do
fault.
Yeah, you don't have to do it.
I know you don't have to do it, but I hear they're changing the leveling system to make it more fun than it is right now.
What are you talking about?
I hear they're patching. There was after the loot cave, there was another loot cave. They patched out the first loot cave. And then they found another one. So then they just moved locations. And so now Bungie was saying that they're going to patch the leveling system so that loot caves aren't even necessary. They're going to try to fix it so that you can feel more progress than just spending hours and not really doing anything. Because in the earlier levels, you go through a stage and you gain a level or two. And you could feel that real progress.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were saying after 20, like you're at level 22, how long have you been past level 20?
That's a good question. A few hours.
Yeah. And I don't know, people, it's not fun to grind at a loot cave. So why are people grinding at a loot cave? Because they feel the progression. Because
they want loot.
Because they want progression. And so Bungie's talking about changing the way that you level past 20. To fix that, to make it more enjoyable for people.
How? I don't even understand.
I don't know. I'm not Bungie.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
you should read the news.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet if Batman was in it, you'd play it.
Oh, I'd play it. I'd play it right now. I wouldn't be on this podcast. I'd be all Batman.
The cave is a bat cave, and you're Batman.
What if there was a secret cave, and you go inside, and you become Batman?
There you go.
If you guys find that cave, you need to tell me.
That's all I've been playing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for sharing there, buddy. What about you, Josh?
I played... I mostly played one game this week, and it was 140.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting some weird thing.
This is made by the level designer of Limbo.
Okay.
And
it's a black and white game.
It's not a black and white game. Limbo was a black and white game where you played a kid who just died repeatedly while you tried to find your sister. Is that Limbo's story?
Yep. Yeah. That's okay. Pretty much it.
Pretty much it. And you would just run into creepy things. In 140, it's a minimalistic but gorgeous game because of its sound. It is you play a square when stationary. When you're moving, you're a circle. And when you're jumping, you become a triangle. And as you go through, you pick up these spheres. And you grab the spheres, and then you go to the location on the stage, and it changes the stage in some way. And mostly the sound changes. And the sound changes, and it makes it... Say you had a platform, right? Mm-hmm. And now you grab the sphere, you change the thing, the music changes. And now with an extra feature of the music, that part of the stage, those tiles that you that didn't do anything before now start moving or fading or flipping up and down and things like that. And so then you can make more progress to a different location. It was essentially the designer was like, I want to make a game like Mega Man. And like a platformer, like a solid platformer. And then he made 140. And while he was playing it, he saw how sometimes stage elements would just interact with the music. And so he started focusing on that. So now every time a stage element is introduced, the music is incorporated into it. And it is a beautiful game. Gorgeous. When you go through the levels, I wasn't expecting it. I was going through and I beat the game, the first iteration of the game. But I was going through and then you run into a boss. And I was not expecting a boss battle. Because it's just platforming. It's just a straight up platforming. You don't shoot anybody or anything like that.
Was there a crescendo in the music?
Yeah. What it is you grab like a little floating triangle around you. I was like, okay, cool. And then you go and there's static. And like static is death. It's when you see it on the floor, you know not to touch it because it'll kill you. And when you die, you just immediately start back at the last checkpoint. So I grabbed this triangle and I went into this other room and there was this floating square of static. I was like, okay, I don't know what's doing that. And then the music crescendos and then fires a laser out of the triangle and it hits the static. And then the static starts shooting things at you and like splits into two. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like I didn't.
You're sorry.
I didn't know.
Sorry, Square.
I didn't know what was going to happen. So it just started shooting all these things. And now you have to jump and avoid them. And then every time you hit the new, it split into two. And then every time you hit another one, it split into more. And then they would launch more static bubbles at you and stuff. And that's the first stage. The second stage then started, you know, doing more of the same thing. And the jumping is perfect in this game. Like you can control where you land and everything. Like you control in midair.
So it really nailed how a triangle jumps.
It really nailed how anything should jump. Like Aaron's always talking about the jumping in like Super Mario and how it is great. And most platformers don't get that right. Mm-hmm. This has it 100% correct. It is probably the best platformer I've played in a long time. And
so it's still just pure platforming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pure platforming, except for the boss battles, which you fire things at.
But so you do have like a button to fire?
No, the music fires for you.
All right. So, do you actually have to do anything besides jump around, or do you actually have to? You're just positioning yourself to be ready for whenever it fires. Because I'm assuming it fires like to the music.
There's three different bosses. The first one is like that. The second one is, the second one you're falling in space, and actually you just need to avoid the static when it comes at you.
Okay.
The third one is difficult. Like I have a piece of paper that I had to write down timing and sequences for music to figure out how to beat it, because your weapon would turn with the music. And the stage, I mean, at first the stage would stay stationary, and then the stage started rotating, and it would rotate opposite of what your weapon rotated, according to the music. And so I had to, like, write down what the different beats were, because you would rotate either three or two, depending on what part of the music you were on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. When I first started it, I thought it was impossible until I figured out the timings of everybody, because I thought I was just guessing. I thought it was just, like, push left, and then it would flip over and then shoot at something. It's a hard game. And now I've finished the first three levels. And then there's another three levels. So like I said, in the first three levels, when you die, you go back to a checkpoint. Then they did mirror levels. And when you die in a mirror level, you start from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm going to be able to do those three. It just seems impossible. But, I mean, I know you guys hate my games. But if you love platformers, you should play this game. It is the best platformer I've played in a long time.
I'll check it out.
And the music's gorgeous. I think it won for sound design of 2013. It integrates so well. It's like electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
This is on Steam?
Uh-huh. 140. That's it. 140. That's it.
It's also the price of the game.
It's also $140.
Yep. Very expensive. Yep.
Worth every penny.
Mm-hmm. You get like a small nugget of gold when you buy it. They send it in the mail. Yeah, no. Play it. I encourage you all to play it.
Actually, it sounds pretty interesting.
It is extremely good.
Sounds unique.
Plus, if you like Limbo,
it's got that sounds same nothing like Limbo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got that same minimalistic design.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a silhouette, but it's not. And it's more than just two colors. It's like a multitude of colors depending on the music.
But you're playing like a shape?
The shape that you're playing is completely secondary to everything. So when you're stationary, you're a square because a square can't roll around. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're moving forward or backwards, you're a circle because a circle rolls. And then when you're jumping, it's a triangle, and it just kind of shows the direction of your jump.
Be better if he was a plumber.
I see. I see how it is.
Also, when he's a square, that just sounds like a ripoff of Adventure.
Mm. It's Adventure.
Because Mr. Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Master Higgins.
Adventure is the Atari game.
Adventure.
Oh, right. My bad. Not Adventure Island.
It's a giant ripoff.
Well, Master Higgins, or whatever his name is, he was a square, too. He wouldn't smoke or drink. Right. Anything else, Josh?
We just lost all our listeners.
Nothing else other than when I say it reminds you of Mega Man, it has like blocks that disappear and reappear according to music, and so you have to make leaps of faith that they'll be there when you're
the disappearing platform.
Disappearing platform, and it also has like platforms that expand into static and then solidify when they've expanded. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of things in it.
It's such a hard, when you know the platform disappears, you know that's a hard part. Yeah. Double Dragon.
No one's favorite part.
Oh, man, Double Dragon. Double Dragon 2 had a really annoying part like that.
Well, Double Dragon 2 is the worst because isn't that the one where you had to press both buttons to jump?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did in all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever so often, you'd instead of doing a knee, you'd do a cyclone kick you'd just hang in the air and then drop onto spikes.
No.
All right. Anything else there, Michael? Or Michael. I'm sorry, Josh.
I finished Kentucky Route Zero. I hadn't finished it since I last played it.
You haven't finished the whole.
I finished Act 3, which is the last act that's available.
Oh,
right now.
All
right.
And out of five?
Out of five. And it rips your heart out. Okay.
In a good way?
No.
It's, look, I can't. It's bad?
No. It doesn't get bad. It just, you feel real bad.
Oh, I better know what happens.
No, you don't.
Have you played it?
No.
How do you know then?
He has no idea.
I bet there's an animal and it dies.
That is not true. I could say for certain that that is not the case.
Okay.
Spoilers. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. Okay.
That's what it sounds like when Brandon sneezes.
What?
Try not to
that?
Sneeze.
Look at a light.
I don't have very bright lights in here. Look at a muted light. In the meantime,
Mike, what have you been playing?
Try and hear if Brandon sneezes in the background.
just the same. So Aaron and I, you know, we finished Destiny. The end fight was stupid, which is not really to be surprised. You know, that the ending was bad. Bungie has a way with ending games poorly. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Halo 1 was good. That was a great ending.
Halo 3's.
Well, Halo 3 was funny.
Yeah.
Because we originally played that with two friends of ours. and so I played as Master Chief, and my other friend played as the Arbiter. So those are like the two main guys in Halo 3. And then players 3 and 4 are just generic, not even appearing in cutscene elites.
They're not generic. They're actually named in the lore, but they also never show up in the game.
They're generic.
It's like Bobbin and Thomas.
Yeah,
it's like Red Elite
and Mary and Pippin.
Red Elite and Green Elite or something.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, they're never discussed in the story. They're never shown in cutscenes. They're just generic elites. I don't care what spin Bungie was trying to put on. They're anyways. So the ending of Halo 3 is very similar to that of 1, where you're escaping an exploding structure in Warthogs.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
Oh, Brandon, I'm spoiling it. This is a game that's like 7 years old. So anyways, you're It's not even a story spoiler. It's just a gameplay spoiler.
It's a story. You're in Warhogs, and I can envision it.
Anyways, so the structure, which I'm not even going to say what it is or in what context, is exploding. It's just like Halo 1.
It's a spire.
You're on something, and you're playing Halo, and it's blowing up.
Yeah. I can't remember anything. I won't tell you what it is.
Yeah, so
it's probably a Halo.
So, anyways, the floor gives out as you're escaping.
Yeah,
and you know, I fancy myself as a pretty decent Warhog driver.
There's four players. Yeah, there's two Warhogs.
Yeah, there's two Warhogs, two in Warhogs. So there's one right. who's gunning and one who's driving.
Yeah.
And so I was driving. And so Aaron and our other friend, Chase, was in the other Warhog. And I don't know who was driving.
But who was driving, Aaron?
It was probably Aaron.
I think I was driving.
Yeah, it was probably Aaron.
I'm a pretty pro Warhog driver.
Yeah, Aaron's a really good Warhog driver.
Pretty pro.
So, you know, and our other friend, Mark Guzman, he's just bad at games, so it was never a good idea to put him as a lead in anything. So the floor gives away in this exploding, you know, part, and this dramatic music and everything. So we're all getting into it and getting hyped and finishing the fight and all that. I go right through the floor and die. And so
we're just
sitting there watching as these two generic elites run through this maze, this gauntlet of obstacles and explosion and like fighting off like the remnants of the flood. And it's just like, oh my gosh, look at this. And so there's a ship that flies down and opens up its hangar in the back, and you do a flying leap off it. Right. And then you land into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Aaron and our friend Chase. Where's Master Chief? It's just these two generic elites. Master Chief
and the Arbiter perished.
They perished long ago. So they go jumping over and they land. And as soon as they land, it transitions into a cutscene, and it's the Master Chief and the Arbiter.
Of course.
Not in my version. My version of the story. Those elites went off to do great things.
No, the elites pull off their helmets, and it's Master Chief.
Pulls off the helmet, and it's the helmet of Master Chief.
Or, like, the guys take him aside, and it's like, look, I know you guys are great, but we really need Master Chief. Could you put on this suit? And
that was also really frustrating, because we watched the ending, and the ending is, like, this sad salute to Master Chief. You know, it's like, everyone's just like...
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Who cares? And
I do.
You're never going to play Halo.
I don't care. I care.
It doesn't matter. So, spoilers, everyone. So, everyone's just like saying farewell to Master Chief. And this, you know, nice message from Bungie comes up, thanking their player fan base. You know, hey, thanks for sticking with this. Well, I lose a little bit of patience. I'm like, because this message is lingering for like 2 minutes. So, I'm like, I'll just hit A and skip so we can go to the credits. Well, I hit A, and it just says, thanks for playing, and that was it. Kicks you back to the start. So we're just like, what?
And we miss the end of the credits where it has the special little teaser for playing on... Were we playing on Legendary? I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you beat it on Legendary, you get this little hidden cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
Skipped it all.
Yeah, skipped it all. So we were just like, I guess Master Chief is dead. So then we played it again, and then we got to that same part, and then Aaron's internet cuts out. So it kicked us back to the title screen again, and we're just like, all right, that's it. Master Chief is dead. Now, obviously, there's a Halo 4 with Master Chief on the cover, so we know Master Chief isn't dead. Spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was funny. So anyways...
So Destiny ended with Destiny, Master Chief is dead.
So Destiny ended with two generic elites jumping into a ship and saving the day while Master Chief and the Arbiter were dead.
Now, here's how Destiny ends. You get a little cutscene with one of the people who doesn't even have like a real name in the game.
Yeah.
She gives you a gun. I go, after we're done, I look at the stats. It's not even that good.
No. Well, that and the guy who's given like the speech... Like, everyone, he's, like, taking all the credit. And he's like, you're just sat here in the town. He's like, well, guys, we did it. Like, you didn't do anything.
He was the most important part of this team.
So, anyways, I mean, I wasn't expecting much, but it was fine. So I also just played, you know, what I had been playing before, which was Battlefield and
Diablo.
Second Son. Well, and Diablo. But I'm getting yelled at by Josh. He called me a cretin the other day because I talk about Diablo too much.
Uh-oh. I didn't call you a cretin.
Well, you called me something a lot worse, but this is a family podcast.
I called you Aaron.
Yeah. Don't say that. Censor that. So, anyways.
This is going to be a beep.
Yeah, I played Diablo. I'm not going to go too much into it, but I got into a greater Nephilim Rift, and that is super fun. Oh, my gosh. So it's like a regular Nephilim Rift, except it's completely timed. Enemies don't drop gold or loot. Instead, they drop little purple skulls, and so there's a bar that fills up. There's like a timer that goes by, like a little skull. And you have to keep your meter above that skull. Otherwise, the rift will end and it kicks you out. So it's so you're just running around trying to kill elite packs because they drop these purple skulls that speed up your meter. When the meter completely fills, you fight a boss who drops awesome, awesome stuff. You're guaranteed at least two legendaries, sometimes three or four, and it's awesome.
My goodness.
Yep. So my character went from like 300k damage to like 500k damage in like the span of like 20 minutes. It's awesome.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Super fun. So besides that.
What difficulty are you playing on?
Torment 2.
Oh, child's play. So, I'm on Torment 1 already. I haven't even beat the game.
Oh, did it let you in? Because are you max level?
No, I'm 60. You can go to Torment at 60. Okay.
So what I have been doing, though, is that I've been hyping myself up on two games.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Shadow of Mordor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Comes out next week.
Which comes out on Tuesday. This upcoming Tuesday. On the 30th of September. So that game, which I'll go into it more next week because I'll have actually played it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very interested in it for a while because I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. And most Lord of the Ring games, except for probably the Return of the King movie tie-in game, have all been pretty bad. You know, forgettable. They're licensed games, right? So you can't really expect much.
I even heard like Lego Lord of the Rings isn't even like the best Lord of the Ring or Lego games.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, Brandon, he really liked them. Actually, they seem pretty
clever. Lord of the Rings is real good. It's open world.
Yeah.
But the Return of the King from back in the day was fine. I actually enjoyed that. It was a little bit too hard, but that's beside the point. So this one is open world, and it uses this nemesis system. And like I said, I'll go into it more because I'll have played it. It looks really cool. I'm excited for it. I went and pre-ordered it. It reviewed extremely well.
It's blowing everybody away.
Yeah, yeah. It's some say it is this year's Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of was, you know, you associated Batman games with terrible video games. And Lord of the Rings you associate with like mediocre to forgettable video games. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that they have the right developer and the right studio now, because this isn't EA anymore. This is actually made by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers so far has been very impressive in my opinion. Like, they've come out with some great stuff. Mortal Kombat 9.
Oh yeah.
Injustice. The Batman games.
Batman series.
You know, now this. So I guess the new Gauntlet's not supposed to be that great, but but, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's fun for what it is.
Yeah.
If you don't come
into
it.
I'm actually curious to try it, but.
Yeah, I'd be curious to try it. I mean, I hear it's not bad. It's just, you know, not.
It's great. Like the old Gauntlet. Like,
right.
You play like the old Gauntlet, and you're like, yeah. This isn't the greatest game in the world.
I was actually checking out the old, like, N64 Gauntlet and being like, I kind of remember liking this game a lot.
That was, wasn't that based on the arcade?
Yeah, yeah.
Dark Legacy.
Where you could, it saved your progress if you used initials.
Yeah, yeah.
That was ingenious. Cool.
So, anyways, I've heard a lot of really cool stories from coming out of Shadow of Mordor. So, you form these nemesis. So, if they kill you, these orcs, they rise to the ranks. And they actually will become captain. And they'll remember you. So, you know, like, I heard one. So, one guy shot this orc in the eye. That didn't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The orc ran away. So, he came back. The orc had a patch over his eye. And called him out and said, yo, you pointed out my eye or whatever. That's my orc impression.
Sounds like an orc.
So, anyways, he got in a fight with the player, and the player got overwhelmed, and he ran away. He couldn't defeat this orc. So the orc leveled up, and he said that that orc became his most dreaded foe because he would show up in the worst times. Like, he'd be overwhelmed, and then this orc would show up and then call him out and be like, "Oh, are you going to run away from me again?" He's like, "That's what you get for putting my eye out." And then he'll go and he'll fight and he'll defeat the player, and then he'll just keep rising up through the ranks.
So this orc has become a troll. No pun intended.
Okay. Anyways, so
that's good.
Brandon, you're really pushing.
So he said that this orc became so powerful at a point that he couldn't face him on a one-on-one fight.
Mm-hmm.
So using the open world systems that are in the game and not using arbitrary like side missions that are set up, scripted things, he had to scout out this orc, figure out who his lieutenants were, figure out what this orc feared. So he figured out that this orc feared betrayal. So he lured away one of his lieutenants, and you eventually learn a spell where you can control that orc, like he becomes your minion. So he controlled that orc, and that orc went back and then betrayed him, which caused the orc to lose his marbles, and he ran away, and he chased into a cliff and like killed him there. So, I mean, that stuff sounds like amazing, and I guess it really works. Like, this is one of those things where the developer or the studio puts up these grandiose ideas of how this game is going to be played. Like, Assassin's Creed 1 is definitely the one that was like, oh, you're going to go around and ancient Jerusalem, or, you know, Crusade era Jerusalem, and gather up all this information and rumors.
Sit on a bench and overhear a conversation.
Yeah, and it just turned out to be so boring and didn't really work. Yeah. Everything was so scripted and repetitive, but this sounds like it is a system that really works. And, you know, there's a lot of talk of that developers in the future, of especially of open world games, are really going to look at this.
Yeah.
And
like,
say,
what if you had an MMO that did that for just everybody?
Or a Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. Where you had civilians. Like,
yeah,
you stole my car.
That would be amazing. But all these orcs and stuff, they're actually all procedurally generated.
Exactly.
So they're not all the same.
Right. So, like, you know, you'll see this game in action. And I honestly thought, well, all these orcs are hand drawn, you know, they're made by an artist or rendered in, you know, in the game. That's not the case at all. The game actually generates how these orcs look and how they behave and what their fears are, their armor and everything. So everyone's game is going to have totally different orcs and stuff. So I think it
sounds
really cool.
So this is Lord of the Rings Sims.
Yes. Orc Sims.
Yep.
You can make two orcs fall in love and
have a baby.
So the other game that has really come onto my radar, and I actually spent way too many hours last night watching footage of this game, but the more I see it, the more I'm getting excited about it, is The Evil Within.
Mm.
So I believe we talked about this before on the podcast. It's made by Shinji Mikami, who made the original Resident Evil and Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really seen too much about the game. I'd watched some, an announcement or something about it. And then a few years ago, and then just saw screenshots. Haven't actually sat and watched a good 20, 30 minutes of somebody playing it. And this game actually, man, it looks really good. There's a lot going on in it. It's like Resident Evil 4 with the systems of Resident Evil Remake.
Mm.
So you're really limited on your ammo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of exploration, and it looks like it rewards you on that.
And you walk like a tank.
Well, you definitely walk slower. Leon wasn't exactly fast either. So, I mean, in that sense, it's very Resident Evil 4. The perspective, the pacing of your character, and the shooting mechanics are very Resident Evil 4.
Well, do you know if it's more like a Gears style control where you use your right stick stick to move and then right stick to look around?
I mean, watching people play it, that's like really hard to tell.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, you can move and shoot at the same time.
I would be very surprised if they kept it like Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
As far as movement goes.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, it is a more deliberate pacing to the movement,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to even Gears of War. You know, it doesn't look like you can take cover.
Right, right, right.
So the things it has in common, you know, as I said, with Resident Evil Remake, so it has the low ammo count. It definitely has the exploration. It's really hardcore, like an old game was.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things, though, it has crimson heads. You have to burn the bodies.
That's straight up Resident Evil Remake.
Yes. Or they come back. So it's either you take out the head,
mm-hmm.
or those things will come back and they will get you.
That is exactly how it works in Resident Evil Remake.
Exactly. And I loved that about Resident Evil Remake. Mm-hmm. I thought that was one of the coolest things.
Let's just take it a step further and you have Nemesis zombies.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who then gather armies of zombies and be like, you didn't burn me when you had the chance.
Very sophisticated in their speech.
You didn't burn me when you had the chance.
That would
be pretty awesome.
So I watched two sessions of gameplay. One was your character wakes up and he's in like a meat locker and there's all these, the game is super gory, by the way, which I kind of like almost Spook Alley haunted house levels of gore. So you wake up and you're in this like meat hanger or cellar or something. And there's all these bodies on meat hooks. And so the character, he like looks through like a door and he sees a butcher and he's like butchering this body. And your character has no weapons or ammo, and it's straight up Outlast or Amnesia. So the entire time the character had no weapons, and what's worse, so he was like trying to escape. You can only use stealth, and there's things that you can hide in, like cabinets, or you can hide under a bed, and this enemy just hunts you because he finds out that you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that made it super intense, though, is so he's running away, and this is obviously a scripted moment, but he comes out with a chainsaw and he hits your character in the leg. So your character is GIMP the entire time. You have to run away from this enemy. You're dragging your right leg behind you. So not only is it terrifying that you have this terrifying enemy who's seemingly invincible, who has a chainsaw, who's chasing you around this horrible environment, but your character is crippled at the same time. So I don't know. It looked really cool. Like it looked like the character really had to outsmart what the AI was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very open area with all these different doors and hallways that you had to like sneak around and try to evade.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be excited when it comes out. You'll buy it and then you play it for 10 minutes and you'll be too scared.
Well, so I mean, truth. From what I saw, it's not the kind of scary that would frighten me. This is more like Dead Space scary.
Yeah.
It relies more on gore and that sort of thing than...
It's more like monsters and
is the Evil Within violence. The one that has you transitioning between different, like, not realities, but like different phases?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. There was a part where he was running away from this character, this maniac, where he walked down a hall and it was almost like the PT hall, where it's just a very normal hall.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go through the door and then all of a sudden he'd be back at the end of the hall again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went through it like a couple times. And then all of a sudden the entire environment changed into something else.
And it was
seamless and cool.
Based on what I've heard coming out of PAX, I think it was, the main complaint that people had about this game was that during some of those sequences, like your antagonist could show up at any time. And so like somebody would go downstairs and then the antagonist would be there and you couldn't run, so he'd kill you.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully like little things like that get fixed, because it sounds otherwise like it'd be a great game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little worried about it technically, because on these two things that I watched, there was a lot of frame rate hiccups.
Hmm.
But it's also a beta build, so a lot of that stuff gets smoothed out.
Mm-hmm.
The PC requirements are ridiculous for it. It wants 6 gigs of video RAM. It's like, what the heck? That's ridiculous. So anyways.
6 gigs of video RAM? Like,
yeah,
on the
six
card
gigs
GPU?
Of VRAM, yep.
All right.
Yeah. And it doesn't look that great. Like, it's a fine-looking game. You know, it's competent, but it's not... You know, I mean, I definitely
looks
think that there are...
good in a dress and everything.
Yeah. It's got a nice personality. So the other segment that I watched was a much more Resident Evil 1, where he was in a mansion and there was just a whole bunch of... He's just exploring, you know, and there's just like, oh, man, just all sorts of just crazy things. So there was one part where he looked out the window, and this was very Resident Evil 4, where there's all these like zombies or undead and they start smashing through the window. And he's like setting up all these traps, like these barbed wire mines.
He heats up the doorknob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he heats up the doorknob.
Puts a bucket of paint.
Bucket of paint on the stairs.
So they come like smashing through like a window, and he has to like shoot these booby traps to like take out these enemies. Mm-hmm. And they're just like pouring through the window. And, you know, he's like panicking and running down into the basement and stuff. That seems super cool.
At the beginning, he feels like it's okay that he's on his own in mm-hmm. this house. And mm-hmm. then
he
slowly realizes he needs everybody else. So.
Yeah.
One of the cool things, just a little...
It's coming of age.
One of the like little details that I really liked about what I watched, though, is opening the door. So when you open the door, the camera zooms right into your character, like just up to like shoulder. So it obscures what's in the next room. So as your character moves through into the room, the camera follows with it. So it's like the room gets revealed kind of all at once. So there's just that moment of suspense where you can't see past your character as the door is opening, where it's just like, oh my gosh, there's going to be something in this room. Do you understand kind of like what I'm trying to
do? It reminds me of like the Resident Evil, original Resident Evil.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Door loading screens.
Yeah, where it's like, except it's all like in real time.
Right, right.
So it just, the camera, it's just the way they move the camera. It's just enough to where you cannot see what is beyond the threshold of the mm-hmm. door mm-hmm. until your character moves in, and then the camera kind of backs out and you get a broader scope of what is in that room.
They should make a game like Ghost Adventures where you have one guy going in there yelling at ghosts and
dude.
Like, but you play the cameraman
dude
and
did
like
you hear
you're
that
going game? Around yeah and then like ghosts come out and you actually have to do things because they're real ghosts.
They use like a fatal frame.
Yeah
I'm getting a lot more excited about it, and there's some really cool weapons. Like one of my favorite things was that there was an enemy that had an axe, and he took the axe from the enemy and just started hitting the enemy with it and stuff. And
do you drop it like in Resident Evil 6?
No,
good,
nope. Nope, he definitely hit. No, this looks way better than Resident Evil 6. I mean, it definitely even looks better than Resident Evil 5. Like it's. It's definitely the game that I think Resident Evil fans wanted after 4.
After 4, yeah.
Yeah. And it definitely goes back to even more than what 4 was doing with the terror and things hunting you and feeling a lot more vulnerable. Like it's a return to classic survival horror while still keeping a lot of the modern conventions mm-hmm. that 4 and other games have introduced, mm-hmm. innovated on. So, yeah, so, I mean, going to definitely keep my eye on that, and I'm super excited about Shadow of Mordor, so I'll have more to talk about next week on those.
Exciting month.
It is. It really is.
Smash Brothers comes out next Friday for 3DS.
Oh, see, I thought that came out tomorrow. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Smash Brothers. I'm excited, but only two of us can play.
Yeah.
Because no
so
one.
So, are you going to get 3D. The 3DS version?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. We'll just sit and play, and you guys can just hang out. And
you can watch over my shoulder.
Okay. I'm just going to put that? The money on my bed and just going to roll around in it, all the money I'm saving.
That dirty, dirty money.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's where you keep the dirty stuff.
You can play your Smash TV with your money. We'll play our Smash Brothers.
Smash TV. Oh, man. Let's play Smash TV.
You know, I just got a Midway collection for the PS3.
Let's do that.
It's got Smash TV on it. It's got Total Carnage.
Yeah,
it's got Rampart.
Oh, we're playing Rampart. We're playing Rampart.
I love that game.
Oh, yeah.
Rampart's awesome.
You say play Smash TV as if it's a bad thing. Smash TV was a great game.
Oh, I love Smash TV.
Yeah, and then like, you can go grab piles of money.
No way.
I know. What is that game about? You're on a TV show.
You're shirtless future guys.
It's basically The Running Man.
Yeah, it's The Running Man.
It's The Running Man.
But like in a building.
Oh.
Like, there's a lot of outside scenes in The Running Man, isn't there?
Outside?
All of it takes place outside.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shoot you off into like some alleyway.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a guy with a flamethrower on top of a pile of trash.
And a guy in a light bright suit.
Yep.
Who sings opera.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
I watched it not too long ago. I think it's like something game related now. Or like it wasn't at the time, but I'm sure.
Don't remember.
It's going to pop. I know Sub-Zero wasn't.
Yeah, Sub-Zero. Yeah, that's actually where they named him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero. Okay, so we're going to play Smash TV while watching The Running Man.
Oh, my gosh.
I have The Running Man on Blu-ray. So
it's on Netflix as well.
This is all working out.
Well, I play Smash Brothers.
You can play your Smash Brothers.
Seems like there's a lot of content in the game to where single player stuff you can do. And
well, that's the great thing about Smash Brothers, man. It's like they are so full of content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so much you can do that you don't even have to play the multiplayer to get a bang for your buck out of it.
I don't remember which one it was, actually. One of the Smash Brothers where they had like a real storyline for the single player mode.
Oh, Brawl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the only one that really had a storyline.
And think. I remember going and being like, well, I'm going to finish this real soon.
No.
That thing, I never beat it. I never finished it.
Ridiculously long.
Well, yeah. See, I bought the first one for the 64, and then I never bought the others, played the multiplayer with you guys.
What are you? Final Destination Fox player? Is that what you are?
Let me just say, if you play competitive Smash where you play Final Destination or the stages that are just flat, no items.
Yeah, you're playing it wrong.
You were playing it wrong.
Yeah. I remember back when Shoryuken.com used to have their fighting game podcast. They had a Smash guy who ran a big Smash tournament on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that after the tournament, they would always have like with four players with all the items.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, that's like the most fun. And it's like, duh, because that's the way you're supposed to play it.
So why not play it that way? It's not like you're playing for money.
Yeah, they're like, man, it's so fun when you have...
I guess it's different if you're trying to take it seriously and like something totally comes out and screws you. But I think that's the fun.
That's like playing Mario Kart and being like, don't shoot me with blue shells, yeah, guys.
You're going to play it like a Gran Turismo.
Yeah, this is... Please. This is like... this is a Need for Speed.
You can play it both. It's fine.
You know what, Brandon?
Play it how you want to play it.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a game.
What, are you a hippie?
Yeah.
I'm just a cool cat.
That's true.
I let bygones be bygones, and...
For those of you that don't know, Brandon is actually a cat. I don't like
people who think different from me.
I'm a cool cat. You guys are...
Actual kitty cat.
You guys are squares.
Minnie's boyfriend.
Squarespace.
But,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good... 30 days.
Good fall. Good fall in general. Yeah. Oh, November's got more games.
Yep.
Call of Duty, Dragon Age.
I still have Divinity on the table, but since I've been so busy, I don't want to kind of invest the time. That's why I've been getting my kicks from Diablo 3.
From Route 66.
Route 666.
Every time I see you hear you talk about it and how excited, it just brings a tear to my eye. It's like, oh.
Me too.
Well, I'm excited for the end game, actually. That's kind of what I'm trying to push through.
What act are you on?
5. I'm on the last act.
Oh, such a good act.
Last few dungeons, I think. And so then, it's been fine all the way through. I mean, it has its ups and its...
And it's more ups?
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. But, yeah, all right. Well, thanks for sharing, guys.
Sharing time's over.
And next week, yeah, you'll hear from me. I plan on getting Shadows of Mordor as
well.
Ooh. For the PC. Nice. Yeah. I have Tuesday off, so boom. Yep. Download, play.
And I hear the PC version is really well optimized too. So
good.
Yep. I mean, it's Monolith, and they've always been predominantly PC developers, so
politically correct.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We're Game Rushmore. You could find us at GameRushmore.onSouthernRoad.com. And take it away, Sam.
Am I Sam?
You're the tweeter.
At Game Rushmore. I don't remember the last time I tweeted.
I can tell you the last time I tweeted.
Never.
Do you have a tweet but do you tweet on your tweet? I mean, do you tweet on your Twitter?
Are you like 80 years old? What happened?
I don't follow that stuff.
You have that tweeter?
You have that tweeter? You have that birdie thing?
I have, you know, people have the I whatever. I have the A analog whatever.
What?
I have an analog phone.
He's from the 1950s, okay? Just leave him alone.
He has to call the operator.
Da bomb.
He has to hit down the receiver several times. Hello, hello. Operator.
I call the operator.
Get me in touch with my mother.
Connect me to...
Connect me to Aaron Lopez. You don't know who Aaron Lopez is? Get off my phone.
He's one cool cat, see?
Mm. I bring out my phone book.
Uh-huh.
And I go through, I search through the... I shuffle through the pages. My white pages, I'm sorry.
He has a family member on the other side of his wall who has like those little holes that you
transfer
phone calls to. That's who he's talking to when he hits the phone. That's why he never gets his messages until like an hour later. Because like his
days
phone
later, yeah.
His phone sucks.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I tweet things. They're mostly innocuous things or like pictures of cats.
Mm-hmm. Pictures of cats.
Yeah.
Pictures of me because I'm a cat.
Next thing I'm going to tweet is going to be a picture of Brandon holding Minnie.
Which is a cat.
Tenderly.
No. All right.
And then, you know, you I'm can sorry, go to Mike. The website for future content.
GameRushmore.OnSouthernRoad.com.
Email us at
GameRushmore@gmail.com.
That's right. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for some extra bits.
That sounds dirty.
For some extra 8 bits.
Still dirty.
All right. Are we going to have a special topic today?
Nope.
I don't think
all right, let's just roll with it. Don't worry.
It's a classic. There, see? Brandon left.
All right.
Look at that.
All right, we're ready. Let's hit record, baby. Come on. Are all the levels good?
We're already recording.
Excuse me. Okay.
I want the intro to be right before he started talking.
I got to loosen the... This is my pre-pod exercises.
Exercises? You're supposed to do tongue twisters all right. Before a podcast.
Brandon played before podcasting perfectly, pretentiously. Yep.
One,
privately.
One, you're not supposed to create tongue twisters before a podcast. And two, not a tongue twister at all. There's two issues with what you just did.
Always Mr. Correct. Mr. Let Me Correct You. That's your title.
Rubber Mr. Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Curiosity Killed a Cat. That's Satisfaction not a brought it back.
Satisfaction Jackson.
Welcome to Game Rushmore. I'm your host today, Brandon Becker.